Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, everyone. This is John Racine from the Church at Las Vegas, and we are so glad to be with you this morning, because this morning we're talking about a subject of power and of passion and of conviction and of something that will just thrill your soul when you consider it and you think about it. And that subject is the resurrection of Jesus the Christ from the dead. Because you see, without His resurrection, then no one else has the possibility of resurrection from the dead either. And I know these are subjects and things that a lot of people look at and say, that's foolish, I don't understand it. They don't try to understand it. They don't want to believe in some of these things. But I want you to know this morning that the scriptures are true. And what they say about Jesus of Nazareth is true, that He was the Son of God, the God-man that laid down His life for us on the cross, allowed His own creation to put Him in a position where He could lay down His life for us, but even death couldn't hold Him back. You see, death is portrayed in the Bible as a great enemy, and there's no enemy that's stronger than God. And so, although it may have seemed like that for a period of time, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And this is the resurrection that we talk about. This is what makes Resurrection Sunday such a powerful first day of the week. Although we celebrate the resurrection of Christ until He comes again along with His death every week in the Lord's church. And so I want to talk about some of these things this morning, but I want you to know that this resurrection wasn't just something that happened coincidentally. It was planned. It was purposed. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 31, Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that He must be killed, and that after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. You see, they couldn't even believe it. It was so hard for them to fathom that this one they had put their hope and trust in was going to actually die. And so Peter was rebuking Jesus, but Jesus dying was of God. And verse 33 says, when Jesus turned and looked at His disciples, He rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," He said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." You see, they just didn't quite understand it at that point. But indeed, just like He said was going to happen, that's what happened. We know that Jesus was crucified on that cruel cross by Roman soldiers as the Jewish religious leaders mocked Him and made fun of Him. But in Luke chapter 24 and verses 1 through 12, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, it says, on the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. And so when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So even Jesus' own disciples didn't get it yet. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Well, what had happened is that Jesus had risen from the dead, just like he had told them. And over a period of time, he appeared to them. Now, over in John chapter 20, and starting with verse 27, there was a disciple named Thomas who had not seen Jesus yet. And so when Jesus finally appeared to them, he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And friends, that's where we need to be today. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in his name we may have life as well. All right, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty called "I've Just Seen Jesus," kind of thinking about what it might be like to see Jesus after he had risen.
Well, we knew he was dead. "It is finished," he said. And we watched as his life ebbed away.
Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body on that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus. Asking what was her reason for tears.
And I sobbed in despair, "My Lord.
All right, we're back this morning, and I wanted to turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 1. After, of course, the resurrection of Christ, the gospel went out into the world, and Paul, one who had actually worked against Jesus and against his church, came to know the power of his resurrection. And I love the way he starts out the letter to the Romans. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the resurrection was like the crown of Christ's mission on earth. Not only did he come and lay down his life, not only did he taste death for all of us, but on that third day he rose from the dead. He was victorious over death. He conquered it and was declared with power to be the Son of God. Now in Acts chapter 4 in verse 32, in the early church it talks about all the believers were one in heart and mind. And no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And I want you to look at verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. And you see, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to do the same thing even now in 2015. We're to continue to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We believe and we testify that he arose. Now, we didn't see him like the apostles did. We didn't get to see him and touch him like Thomas did. But like Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. And so I am certainly glad to be a part of that number. And I hope you are too this morning. And if you're listening and you don't know the power of the resurrection, if you've never heard the greatest story that's ever been told about how God took on flesh of his own creation and lay down his life for us so that we could be set free from sin. I like the way Peter wrote about it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." I love that. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our life wouldn't be possible. If it wasn't for him being victorious over death and rising from the dead, we wouldn't be able to have that victory either. So because Jesus was able to conquer and Jesus' blood paid the penalty of our sin, then because of God's great mercy, we too can have new birth and a living hope and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. These are some of the things that makes the resurrection so exciting and something that we never want to forget. Something that we need to realize that our God's not dead, but he's surely alive. And we want to listen to our next song this morning. This is a song, of course, by the Newsboys called "God's Not Dead, He's Surely Alive."
Somehow us hide. But faith is dead. I need a resurrection somehow. No, I'm lost in your freedom. And this world I'll overcome. My God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Roaring like a lion. He's roaring. The heaven roar and fire fall. Shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
Our God's not dead. He's surely alive. I want to share with you one more passage of scripture before we get to our last song this morning. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12. You see, sometimes even back then, people didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But I want you to see some of the arguments that Paul uses as he goes through here. He says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." I want you to see all the things that would not be possible without the resurrection of the dead. First of all, Christ couldn't even be raised from the dead. Secondly of all, the apostles' preaching would have been worthless, and so would our faith in that preaching. And then thirdly, God would have been a liar, because the apostles said that he's the one that raised him from the dead. And they would have also been false witnesses about God, for they're the ones that said God raised him from the dead. And so there's so many things. Our faith is worthless. We're still in our sins without the resurrection. There's no hope in this life if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if he didn't conquer the grave. But I want you to see verse 20. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man." And you see, that's the power of the resurrection. As Paul goes on later on to say, "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will change. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. And I want you to know this morning that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have hope and victory even over death itself. Praise the Lord. And we need to be so grateful and thankful for that victory. We want to listen to our last song this morning. This is a song called Arise, My Love, from New Song, and it's about God talking to his son, telling him to rise from the dead.
From heaven, the stone was rolled away, and this dead man, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might.
Then suddenly a melody filled the air, riding was everywhere.
The words of creation had been longing to hear.
A sweet sound of victory, so loud and clear. Arise, my love. Arise.
Hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. Hope you have a blessed resurrection day, and never forget Jesus Christ and the power of a risen Savior. We sure would like to have you come visit us at the church at Las Vegas. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Check us out on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. We'd love to meet you, answer any questions you might have about a walk with Jesus Christ. So keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.